This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Colostrum LD is clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens, and fight infection, as well as cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. Adding Colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. To order, just go to sovereignlaboratories.com. That's sovereignlaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to sovereignlaboratories.com for Colostrum LD. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today a podcast that I'm very much looking forward to because I have at my disposal an expert in a field that I think is very germane to my interests and the interests of many of you listeners, which has to do with supplement quality. You know, we're confronted with a profusion of brands out there, lots of buying options. And there are a variety of controversies about supplements. Are they what they're advertised to be? Are they potentially adulterated? Do they contain contaminants? Are they of adequate potency and quality? And so today I'm going to have at it with an expert. He's Jeremy Appleton. He's a naturopathic doctor. He's also the Vice President of Science and Education for Claire Labs, which is a supplement manufacturer of excellence. They do a professional line of supplements, which are available through practitioners. And so, Jeremy, we actually had an opportunity to have a brief conversation, a prelude to this longer podcast on one of our weekend editions of Intelligent Medicine, and you're answers were very forthcoming, but I'd like to do a little deeper dive today. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I would enjoy that.
Great. Okay, so first of all, you know, what are the stats on nutritional supplement use? Because in spite of a lot of discouragement by the medical establishment and the media, a lot of scare stories, it seems that supplement use is not on the decline, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. It remains as popular or more popular than it ever was. I don't have the statistics at my fingertips, but I think that it's something along the lines of 70% of Americans use dietary supplements of some form, the multivitamin being sort of the classic and remaining the most popular. But there are a lot of subgenres, if you will, of supplement use that are enormously popular. Probiotics have become increasingly mm-hmm. popular in the last 5 to 10 years.
With good reason.
Very good reason. There's probiotics. An explosion of research in that area. And also, you know, sports supplements and weight loss supplements continue to be very popular, but they also tend to be the areas that are a little bit more fraught with risk and with controversy in terms of regulatory actions and unsubstantiated claims and those other areas that cause the supplement industry to get its reputation as the Wild West, if you will.
And we'll do a deeper dive on that a little later, but I want to clear out some preliminaries. So what do you think why do you think it is that the public, in spite of all these admonitions from the media and from doctors, many of whom don't believe in supplements, that people are voting with their feet, that this is a grassroots movement, that people are embracing supplementation?
Well, I think there are a lot of good reasons to embrace it. First of all, I think that many people embrace it because of the inadequacies that they find with conventional approaches to medicine. I think they find that many physicians are not treating them as whole people. I think that the way that insurance now interacts with the lives of your typical medical doctor have really transformed what a doctor can do in the office with their patient, how much time they can spend, so they really tend to get focused on drug therapy And that's not really what people necessarily want. They often want to have things that are supportive of increasing health and longevity, and that's not necessarily the expertise of a lot of doctors, although increasingly it's of interest to medical doctors.
And I would echo that sentiment. You know, from my standpoint, I think there are two main reasons. One is to stay out of the clutches of the medical establishment, which is no picnic, both economically, you know, because a lot of medical procedures aren't really properly supported. And so it can be an expensive proposition. So you want to stay healthy. And also, even when you get sick, the solutions tend to be inadequate. Either many conditions are only ameliorated, not cured, but at the cost of side effects, which many people find unacceptable. So they're looking for ways to kind of circumvent the established ways of medicine. Not that there aren't marvelous medical breakthroughs out there that really are exciting, but for many people, I think they would they'd rather avoid that process.
I would think so, and you know, there's a balance that needs to be struck. It's obviously important for people to take responsibility for their health, to take their health into their own hands. However, the quality of information and the quality of products out there that are available to people on that quest, and the quality of information that's available on the internet, varies quite widely. I mean, there's real junk out there, and a lot of people can get sucked into believing in certain types of fictions, particularly in the alternative medicine area. And then there's really rigorous, scientifically based natural medicine that that people may not even be aware of. They don't follow the research.
Well, it's sometimes been said that it's a tale of two industries, that there really are two tiers of companies in this field, the companies that are ethical and scrupulous about quality, and who don't vet products that don't make sense or which aren't scientifically supported. And then there are companies that kind of go for the jugular. You know, they, you know, kind of answer these unmet needs of people, like, you know, as you mentioned earlier, athletic performance, sexual performance is another big area. You know, mm-hmm. people just want to get some more mojo. And then, of course, there's the weight loss supplements, the supplements that melt the pounds away while you, you know, sit back in the lazy boy and, you know, continue to consume junk.
Yeah, I think that I would also add to that list, and this is a very unfortunate aspect of the industry, is that there are unscrupulous actors who will prey upon sick and desperate people, for example, mm-hmm. people who have cancer.
Yeah.
This is another area where we see dietary supplements, which have the potential to really be helpful in many situations, but are often marketed unscrupulously. I come back to that point that you made about the tale of two industries, if you will, and the companies that are really dedicated to quality versus those that seem to just be in it to turn a buck. I think that if you really look at a company and you try to understand it, you'll find that the ones that have a long history, they were often founded by people who were passionate about natural health, and they were passionate about finding, you know, creating quality products to fill a gap that perhaps you know, existed, was even bigger back then. I mean, I know our own company was founded by a woman named Claire Farr,
whom I knew very well. Yeah.
And yeah.
What year was it again?
I believe it was 1969.
Okay. Well, that a little bit predates me. You know, I got even that. But, you know, I have to say that Claire was an omnipresent figure on the scene. I mean, she used to, at medical conventions, she literally used to man the booth, you know, well into her older years. Presumably, you knew Claire, although you sound a little younger than I. And then, and her commitment was to make very clean supplements. That was the reputation that the Claire brand had, is that it was designed for, you know, ultra-sensitive patients. She used to exhibit at particularly the American College for Environmental Medicine, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, which is a place where you would get patients with, you know, multiple chemical sensitivity, and many other supplements were adulterated, had traces of chemicals or allergens. that would send them into a tizzy. And so her commitment was to make, you know, ultra pure products for the sensitive.
That's exactly right. I couldn't have said it better myself. And I think that because of her commitment and because of her dissatisfaction with what was available at the time in terms of dietary supplements, she was a real pioneer, and her vision in creating the company has continued to be an inspiration and a driving force behind all of the activities. I mean, obviously, any company that's in business has to make money. They have to make it a profitable operation. They can't continue to sell products at a loss, regardless of what their philosophy is. But the companies that really care about quality are the ones, I think, that will, you'll hear some passion about it. You'll go to their website. There will be dedicated pages talking about it. And if they've invested in that, then they're going to be rightly proud of that investment. And they'll want to show it off.
Okay, folks, usually at this point, we allow one of our sponsors to share an important message with you. So here goes. Did you know the benefits of nature's most powerful superfood are universal and always available no matter what your age? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a nutritional supplement I recommend and use that's clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens and fight infection, and cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. It's Colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Adding Colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. With Sovereign's proprietary enhanced delivery system, Colostrum LD is the most effective colostrum available. Colostrum LD has wide-ranging health benefits at every stage of life. To order, just go to SovereignLaboratories.com. That's SovereignLaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to sovereignlaboratories.com for Colostrum LD. Thanks for listening, and thanks so much for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to Jeremy Appleton, our guest today. Well, so for just basic guidelines, what's the difference between a professional line and a consumer brand? Is there a distinction? I mean, one is that, you know, they're just available through different channels.
That's right.
Professional brands, I mean, doctors and health practitioners of various kinds, various stripes prescribe them, naturopathic physicians, nutritionally oriented chiropractors, nurse practitioners, et cetera.
Well, from a regulatory standpoint, in terms of the FDA, there is no distinction. However, the healthcare practitioner channel originally came into being because there was a need for more specific formulas, for formulas like what Claire was doing that might be free of unnecessary additives that could be causing very sensitive people problems. There was need for maybe very high potency formulas that were very targeted towards a specific health condition. And so a number of companies grew out to answer those needs that were more specialized and develop products that should really be used under the guidance of a qualified healthcare practitioner, and oftentimes a medical doctor or a naturopathic doctor, somebody who's had some training in physiology and biochemistry and anatomy and can really understand how to safely use these substances, perhaps at higher amounts, in order to treat particular conditions. Now, treating health conditions with the use of dietary supplements is absolutely legal. What is tricky about this industry, however, is that the companies that make those products are not allowed to market them in that way.
Mm-hmm. So with
health and disease claims, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why you see that disclaimer on the bottle that says the FDA has not evaluated these statements. This product is not intended to prevent, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease. Even if it is, the company that makes it is not allowed to say so. Mm-hmm. So it really is in the hands of the doctor to say, yes, of course, we understand that, but here's how you use this product. So it's in the hands of an expert. Now, there are a lot of products that are available as dietary supplements that might not be advisable for just the average Joe to get his hands on and just start taking it. You know, there are hormones, you know, DHEA, for example, or there are vitamins that have hormone-like activity, vitamin D, and that, you know, some of these things probably be a good idea to have a little bit of expert guidance before you just start, well, assuming I bought it at the health food store, it must be safe, it must be fine. That's not necessarily a correct assumption, both from a therapeutic standpoint and also from a safety standpoint.
Nonetheless, though, and you made the case for me, as I always advise people to see a nutritionally oriented health practitioner for guidance, because he who hath himself for a doctor hath a fool for a doctor, you know, the old saying. but nonetheless, when you look at the toll of mayhem of conventional medications versus supplements, you know, one of the fake news stories out there is that people are dropping like flies from supplement usage, that supplements are causing all kinds of mayhem. And then if you actually look at the statistics, the reports to poison control and so on, virtually half of those are when children sometimes get into bottles of supplements and choke. You know, that could be the same thing, you know, with, you know, laundry tabs. You know, it's absurd. It's not the supplements themselves that are creating mayhem. They're inappropriately used. They're inappropriately stored. They're taken accidentally by toddlers. And then also, if you break it out, the supplements that cause the most havoc are in two major categories. They're the weight loss supplements and the sports supplements, you know, that supposedly enhance athletic performance. And then if we talk about your neck of the woods, your part of the industry, which is Claire Labs, you know, ethically developed supplements that are clean and pure, you know, maybe you could count on one hand the number of people who could run into problems, perhaps with overzealous use.
You're absolutely right. Generally speaking, as a class, dietary supplements are far safer than pharmaceutical drugs are. There's no question. And that the adverse events that have been reported, that the adverse events that do occur with them, do tend to be either through accidental ingestion, such as with kids, or through misuse, as we have often seen with sports supplements and weight loss, people taking extreme amounts, hoping to gain more extreme benefit. I think ephedra is a perfect example of that. Here was a perfectly good,
and as a naturopath, you know, when you studied, you know, the benefits of ephedra used for literally millennia in traditional Chinese medicine, and when used appropriately, it's a marvelous medication.
Exactly right.
I mean, I call it a medication because it has medicinal effects. It's a supplement, but nonetheless, it's part of the armamentarium of traditional Chinese medicine.
Absolutely. And it was very sad to lose access to that as a clinician because certain people were misusing it for, you know, the use of it as a sports supplement because they could, you know, believe that they could enhance their performance, and they ended up giving themselves a heart attack.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, a pitcher who died. You know, he probably you know, took like a dozen pills simultaneously, something along
those lines. And then the rest of the entire supplement industry gets tarred with this the same brush, and we get accused of being an unregulated industry, which is just simply not true. We're differently regulated than drugs. Dietary supplements don't require pre-market approval. They don't require the same kind of evidence of efficacy before they're launched. But then again, they are they're much safer, generally speaking, than most pharmaceuticals. And when you think about just acetaminophen, Tylenol, for example, and how many people are poisoned by that every year, it dwarfs the number of toxic types of reactions that anybody would have to a supplement. But those don't make the news. Whereas when something adverse happens with a supplement, it tends to be thrust right out there into the media.
So another myth that's out there, and this is often repeated by the foes of supplementation, and they have an agenda. Their agenda is they want more stringent regulation of supplements. They would like supplements, in many cases, to be regulated like drugs, that they would have to go through an approval process that might cost tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for every new supplement introduced to the marketplace. They've actually suggested that. But their claim is that it's a free fire zone. There are no regulations. You can, you know, put anything out there, and the FDA can't do anything about it. They're not empowered to regulate supplements properly. True or false?
Oh, I would say that's false. I mean, like I say, it's differently regulated, but to say that there is no regulation is simply ignorance. There's the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act. There are good manufacturing practices in the Code of Federal Regulations. You can't just go out there and make a product for anything and sell it and make any claim you want. It's easier to get it onto the shelf, but eventually you can get shut down if you're not following the law. And there are laws and regulations that apply to dietary supplements, particularly as regards to the quality of their manufacture.
Mm-hmm. Does the government come to inspect your facility? I mean, where is Claire located?
Yeah, Claire's in Reno, Nevada, and that's where our manufacturing facility is located. And the we are audited by NSF, which for good manufacturing practices. Now, it's a non-governmental organization, but they basically audit us to the GMP standards, and the FDA can show up at any time that they want to and inspect it. It's not something that the FDA does regularly. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to pass an FDA inspection in order to be a supplement manufacturer. It is expected that you will be in compliance, and if FDA does decide to audit your facility, they can shut you down if you're not compliant. Or more likely, what they do is they send you what's called a 483, which is a warning letter, and they'll do this either as a result of an inspection, or if they're inspecting your website and they find that you're making disease claims about your products, and then they'll say, well, this is an unapproved new drug. And your product is misbranded. And that's how they'll approach it. And then you'll have a period of time in which to remediate. And so receiving one of those letters it doesn't necessarily mean that a company has made a horrible mistake. The regulations, as I said, are quite extensive, and there can be small things that cause a company to receive a warning, and then they remediate it. It's the same thing happens in the pharmaceutical industry. There's really no difference. There are regulators and there are the regulated, and the dietary supplement industry is, like the drug and the food industry, a regulated industry.
Okay. Well, this is a good point at which to pause, because our listeners know we divide our podcast into two parts. And in part two, we'll continue with a discussion of supplement quality. How do you know that what you're getting is what you're paying for? And also, is it pure? Is it clean? We're talking to Jeremy Appleton. He's a naturopathic physician and vice president of science and education for Claire Labs. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.